And once again, weather tops our news with the extreme heat and the severe thunderstorms that ripped through the area yesterday late in the afternoon through the early evening. And Paul, you were and I, along with everyone listening, witnesses to the power of the storms, first with the wind before the rain actually hit.
Well, trees in my neighborhood were bending way over. Now, the recorded winds out at the airport, nowhere near what we had in northern Allegheny County and southwestern Butler County. Going back to those power outage numbers, in terms of just Allegheny County, listen to these locations. Bellevue, Hampton, Indiana, Ross, and Shaler. Those are the really badly hit places, like with 2,000, 3,000 outages each.
Yeah, what's interesting is I have underground utilities in our neighborhood.
Right, and me too.
You would think, while it's not the case that a tree would take down your power lines in the neighborhood like that, obviously there's so many transfer stations and distribution points that it doesn't matter. So Duquesne Light, again, was down to 27,000 and change. So slowly they're making progress.
The highest gust at the airport yesterday was 23 miles an hour. That's just how different it can be from one place to another in the same county.
There were shingles being ripped off the roofs just where I was, and I tried to get out of the car. The wind was so powerful. It was way higher. I don't have an official reading on it, but based on the wind damage, it was significantly higher for a fairly sustained period of time initially. And then as the storm moved in with the rain, it backed off a little bit. And then it came and was quiet and got humid and much warmer. Mm-hmm. It had dropped 30 degrees inside of 20 minutes. So people still dealing with that.
Well, I can tell you that when I was on my way out of the plan to go find a cooler place to spend the night, I couldn't believe how many neighbors had come outside.
There was
a lot of people with concerned looks on their faces, finding damage in their yards.
Well, it's a lot of debris to clean up, even if you didn't have major damage.
Mm-hmm.
But also, something I've noticed, these generators, the Generacs that people are now putting into their homes where they are powered by natural gas as their supply. So when power goes out, these generators give the homeowner full power to continue to operate everything they normally would if they were connected to the utility. And I've noticed more and more people have them. And when you don't have one,
it's obvious.
So ran into our neighbor at Giant Eagle, and he had a cart full of food. And I'm thinking, well, the power's out. And he turned with this great wry look, and he said, "I just had a generator installed in my house." This is a guy who lives two doors up.
They're not exactly inexpensive, but boy,
no.
You know, when you really need one, especially in places like Florida, where you could be without power for several weeks at a time.
Yeah, post-tropical weather.
Right.
Speaking of tropical weather, just a note, in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's not affecting Florida, it's affecting Texas. They have first tropical storm signs up for the season.
Tropical storm warnings for the area of coastal Texas from Port O'Connor southward to the mouth of the Rio Grande. Heavy rainfall, moderate coastal flooding are the biggest concerns, according to the National Hurricane Center.
Now, speaking of heat, they get a lot of days like this in Houston, Texas. Basically, their whole summer's like this, but they've had more than their share of flooding and rains and tropical weather, too.
Looking at the precipitation forecast for Texas and Mexico, my friends in San Antonio and Houston are going to get very wet.
Another story a lot of people will be talking about is the real push now to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Pennsylvania. Tamira Rush had that story, and this has been decades in the making, but the entire country of Canada has legalized recreational marijuana. We're at about half the states in the union who have legalized recreational marijuana. But one of the things that is, and I learned this from John Fetterman when he went to all 67 counties in the state to get a read on people's willingness. And he had said several years ago that people overall were for just doing it, right? But the key factor for many people who have had a record that has kept them from getting certain jobs, and that's the only thing they have a record for, is trying to get those expunged.
And look at what happened yesterday in Maryland. 175,000, actually more than that, people had their records cleared by the governor. He issued pardons to nearly 200,000 people who were convicted of various marijuana-related charges.
And why is that important? When people are looking to hire and they have that on their record, in many cases, that has prevented them from getting certain jobs.
Now, think about it this way. Here, and I'm not a marijuana user, so I'm not that smart about it, but I can say that I know marijuana is a drug. I also know that alcohol is a drug. Now, imagine being told that you couldn't have a job or, you know, promotion or something like that because of the fact that you've had a history drink. Of drinking. See what I'm saying? It's the same thing.
Yeah, and marijuana is still a Schedule I narcotic. For the time being, they're trying to do what they can on the federal level to change that, but it's still on the same level as heroin.
Yeah, it's, you know, so out of step with what's going on in the United States, what's been going on in the United States for decades. People have been having marijuana, whether it's been legal or not.
Well, there's a fascinating story about hemp, which is not marijuana. It's a cousin plant. But because of hemp and the economic impact it was having over steel, there's a really fascinating story about how all of that was outlawed in the first place. But suffice to say, sounds like they're finally getting some traction.
It's a bipartisan bill.
Yeah. And I think the governor said he supports it. So,
and that would put the governor on deck then to talk about clearing the records of people in Pennsylvania who have similar problems that they did in Maryland.
And one other story I think is going to catch the attention, certainly in this town, to sports fans, is HBO has announced that the Pittsburgh Steelers, along with the other members of the AFC North, will be part of HBO's Hard Knocks in season this year. And it'll start, and we'll get you the details on that, later in the season. So they will document what's going on behind the scenes. It's really, if you've ever seen any of these, it's really fascinating.
Last year, I caught some of the Detroit Lions with Coach Campbell interacting with the different players in his office. It was fascinating to watch that.
It really is, because you'll see plays that you remember seeing as highlights, and then you'll hear what the coaches and the players were actually saying in those moments. And then off campus, you know, what some of the players are doing. I think it'll be certainly a big hit for Steelers fans. HBO's Hard Knocks in season.
So that'll be toward the end of the season, right before the playoffs, right?
Yeah, we'll get the details for you this morning as well. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted, especially on severe weather days like we ended up with yesterday afternoon. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. HBO and NFL Films announce Hard Knocks in season with the AFC North. So, Paul, yeah, this is the first time that this series has done an entire division. Now, we've heard for many years they've done teams, and the Steelers have not been one of them by choice, I think.
And this is occurring at the time that the Steelers are going to be preparing for games against all of those teams.
Yes, and I'm sure that was part of the, when they had the conversation, part of the genesis of doing that. And the Steelers have, as you may know, a pretty tough stretch of games at the end of the season in particular. 18-time Emmy Award-winning series. And you know how entertaining it is to hear what's actually being said on the field with the players and the coaches, and then what you've seen as a fan. I love this series for that reason. And there's a humanity factor, too. And these guys are, you know, dads, sons, brothers, friends, and I'd love to see how that, you know, comes together on game day. So this will premiere on December 3rd, by the way, 9 o'clock on HBO and streaming on Max. And the new episodes will feature the Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, and Browns. And then every Tuesday through the end of the NFL regular season and continue into the NFL playoffs through January of 2025. So this will be interesting with all the new names. Certainly one of the attractions, I'm sure, for the league was what the Steelers had done in the offseason to make changes, significant changes to their roster. You ever seen any of these?
I have. One of the first ones that I got a kind of followed it for more than one episode was back when they were doing the Jets, and Rex Ryan was the coach of the Jets, and he had some kind of a team meeting in a room, like a classroom setting, and he was upset about something. He was got pretty animated, and he, you know, wrapped up his speech by saying, "All right, now let's go get a blanking snack." You know, it gave you an idea of what they were like, you know, what they're like when no one's supposed to be looking, I guess.
Yeah, and I know.
If you were like a fly on the wall.
I know that they've wanted the Steelers for a long time.
And I know that Mike Tomlin's not crazy about the idea from what I'm reading.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, he doesn't want any additional distractions, I'm sure. So hopefully splitting it up among all the teams in the division, and I would assume based on where the teams are in the race for the playoffs at that point will make a significant impact on what they choose to show. However, just as a fan, I love hearing what Mike Tomlin's saying and the coaches and the players. So that'll be Hard Knocks in season. They did it last year during the season with the Miami Dolphins, and I found that to be very fascinating too. But with your Pittsburgh Steelers and the AFC North, this is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and joining us, friend of our show who spent his career and life as a family practitioner, Dr. Kevin Wong. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You know, I joke about people always telling others to hydrate. You would think adults know to hydrate, but heat does have, and particularly dehydration, an important impact on people's health. So talk us through this. What have you seen in your career?
Well, what I always tell patients, and I'm probably going to be sounding like a broken record this entire week like you guys have been, and my last words to them when they're leaving the office is do not get dehydrated or overheated, because the effects on our system are significant, and especially for someone who may have just started new medications because they were diabetic or they have high blood pressure or they have heart disease. These medications will alter the way we're used to dealing with the heat, and they don't expect their pressure to be that much lower. They don't expect that they can get dehydrated much easier than they used to. And if you don't be careful and really push the water more than usual, you're going to get into trouble. But even people who are in generally good health, when you hit these extremes, I've reminded people for years, do not overexert when the heat index is over 70. I mean, even people say, I'm going to go out walking this morning. As you said, it's 70 degrees. What's our heat index this morning? That temperature and humidity takes a lot more out of your system than you think when you're trying to exercise. Almost the opposite of telling people don't go exercise or exerting when the wind chill is below 32, because again, it affects your body differently, but still has more systemic effects than we realize until we get used to it.
Dr. Wong, just out of curiosity, how can we tell that we're becoming dehydrated? What are the early signs of that?
Well, some people don't perspire because of medications, and some people don't perspire that they feel naturally. So the biggest thing is, how often are you voiding? How often are you going to the bathroom? Is your urine light or is it dark? It should really be clear, not yellow or dark, dark yellow. So those are the first things we can see when you're voiding. But I hate to say, a lot of modern households don't have a commode that's white anymore, so they can't even tell what color it is.
That's interesting. We're with Dr. Kevin Wong. You would think as adults we would know that, but there are a lot of factors. If people take vitamins, a lot of times that creates a coloration, so they don't know for sure. But on average, and I realize there's a great differential based on size, weight, age, sex, what is the recommendation for how much water should we be drinking? I see people now carrying these big Yetis and Stanleys filled with water. Looks like a 55-gallon drum. How much should the average person drink of water a day?
Again, that is solely based upon many factors, so it's hard to give that advice. I, again, will tell someone, how often do you normally void, and what does your urine look like? And if it's staying relatively clear, except for yellow in the morning, they're probably doing a good job. And if they know they're voiding 4 or 5 times a day in the wintertime, but in the summer go once or twice, yeah, you're probably dehydrated.
And what do you do with someone who you feel like is dehydrated in your family, maybe an older family member who may not be aware, a little disoriented?
Well, that's where someone else has to watch to make sure they're not just getting water, but they do get some electrolytes. I mean, there is a place for Gatorade, but even that usually has too much salt in it, per se, and sugar for some people, so it should be diluted down even with ice cubes. But there are these hydration and Pedialyte solutions, but we have to be careful about overusing them. So it really should be up to the person, talk their own physician about what is the best course for them, because sometimes those are medical issues. You shouldn't have more salt, or some people need more salt because they're losing it too quickly. So it really is very individually tailored what their course of rehydration should be.
You know, so, Dr. Wong, oh, I'm sorry, Larry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask about appetite. When the heat gets like this, I know that I'm not as hungry. And I know many of my friends say that they eat less. What about something cool to drink like Ensure?
Well, that may still be too heavy. Your body is trying to absorb a lighter solution that doesn't have to work as hard. That's why Gatorade on ice might be appropriate, because you need a little bit of a solute that's easily absorbed with water. A heavy meal, we just don't feel like taking it.
Yeah.
So we do need the fluids and just a little bit of electrolyte to help absorb it faster.
All right, Doc, we appreciate you weighing in with us. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Everybody stay cool, stay hydrated, and have a good summer.
Dr. Kevin Wong, there it is, stay hydrated, and see your physician if you want to kind of get a gauge on, based on your age, body weight, activity level, on what's right for you. Paul, do you have one of those big Yetis or Stanleys? I saw Marty posted
no.
something about those. Like, there are people that overhydrate.
I have a couple of, OXO for my coffee. And sometimes I can put cool drinks in them as well and keep it cold, but nothing big like that.
All right, Aaron, do you carry one of those? I haven't seen you with one of those giant.
I have it with me back here.
I just make lots of trips to the water cooler.
Yeah. I mean, I try, because I'm a coffee person, I literally try to, if I have one cup of coffee, do like 4 cups of water.
Wow.
To equal that out. Because I can feel in my body when I'm dehydrated, actually.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
And coffee does do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I could dry up like a raisin. 6:45 at KDK from the PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. AAA traffic powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville. Now open. Here's Ellie Popovich, well hydrated.
Hey, Larry. Over on the Parkway West, it starts to build as you make your way to the top of Green Tree Road. And heavy and slow down towards the Fort Pitt Tunnels. Over on the Parkway East, we're slowing at Edgewood-Swissville into the Squirrel Hill Tunnels. No major issues on the Parkway North so far this morning where the HOV lanes are open. 28 is still doing very well all the way down towards the north side. And looking at I-79, that is clear in both directions. And we still have a road closure in Shaler on Mount Royal Boulevard. It is between Genesee's and Glen Avenue. With AAA traffic on the 5, I'm Ellie Popovich on the Voice of Pittsburgh on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDK.
Thanks, Ellie. And we're going to go live to AccuWeather's World Headquarters meteorologist Heather Zare. Heather, 24 hours ago when we talked to you, you mentioned the possibility of some thunderstorm activity yesterday. big drop in temperature. It went from 95 to 65 in minutes. And high winds ahead of the storm in particular caused a lot of damage, as you know. And with this extreme heat today, what are we facing?
Yeah, we even had some hail. They reported that at the airport. They reported some hail. So it got kind of crazy there for a time. The storms really blew up. They had a little bit of help from some upper level energy that came through. And that was enough to really kind of kick those into high gear and cause that damage. Today, I think that's less of a concern as we don't have that extra energy coming through. Now, that said, it does look like something can pop up. I think it's more likely that we'll see thunderstorms firing up along Lake Breeze boundaries up across far northeastern parts of Ohio and up toward Lake Erie. So that's really going to be an issue for those places. You can also see storms a little more likely to pop up over the Laurels, maybe some of the higher terrain in West Virginia as well. Less likely for Pittsburgh itself, but certainly not out of the question, as we do still have a lot of heat and humidity in place. The heat, though, I think is the bigger concern now as we go through today. As we get up to about 95 degrees again, that'll be only a couple of degrees off of the record. This is pretty much still what we're looking at as we head through tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday. From tomorrow through Friday, pretty low chances for thunderstorms, even in those higher terrain areas and even up near the lake. The high pressure area is just so strong that it makes it tough for them to be able to pop up. So the heat, I think, a little more threatening in that regard. Saturday, though, again, we're looking at a thunderstorm chance returning, but all it's going to do is maybe where thunderstorms come through, it can break the heat at least temporarily. But temperatures, depending on timing, still have a chance to spring back because, of course, it stays light pretty late in the day.
Heather, judging by some of the things I'm seeing posted by friends on social media about yesterday's storm activity, a number of people are wondering whether or not we had a microburst in northern Allegheny County, southern Butler County.
You know, I've been hearing some talk about that. I think they're going to have to go out and check that out and see before we can know that for sure. But certainly there was quite a bit of damage and a lot of it concentrated, not just there, but also into some other parts of the area. It looked like there was a lot of damage over Beaver County and all kind of in a row. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure they'll go out and investigate that as the day goes on.
All right, Heather, thank you for the update.
You're very welcome.
Meteorologist Heather Zehr, and the National Weather Service sends out a team and they analyze the damage, Paul, to your point, to determine whether it was a microburst or in some cases to determine whether there was a tornado. I didn't see any tornadic activity yesterday.
But, like, for example, our afternoon host, Colin Dunlap, has snapped and twisted trees in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that leads people to wonder.
So they will do assessments and then kind of post. But if you lost a big tree or part of your roof, doesn't matter what you call it. You know what I'm saying? At this point, you got the damages done.